Hello guys, welcome back to another episode. This is episode 4 of the Level Up Lounge. And why are you doing that? Why? This is the wrong channel for that.
Now I have all your ramblings.
I'm really hoping the squeaking noise came in. That was but hilarious. If it does, awesome. If not...
To anyone that watched squeaking...
Continuing, this is the video hell? Games. We're going to be talking about gaming preservation.
Well, he's talking about gaming, I'm talking about squeaks.
You can do both, gaming and squeaking.
You're not wrong. We're not going that topic because, we've gone way left field at that point.
If you want that episode, just let us know. We'll put that on our Patreon. You have to pay for that episode.
Sell your ass out. Yeah, he needs a new leather chair.
No more video games. Come on. No, welcome back to another episode of Level Up Lounge. We're going to be talking about gaming preservation, which gaming preservation really means just preserving games, like physical copies of games. Preferably in utilizing those physical games in any kind of format of still playing those. But gaming preservation can be, honestly, can be digital as well. How are you playing those games digitally? It could be through multiple platforms. It could be just on a single platform and hoping that launcher sticks around for a very long time. For example, Xbox has announced that they're going to be integrating with a lot of other launchers, like EA, Ubisoft, Steam, Battle.net. So that's one way that you'll be preserving your games and be able to play them on multiple platforms. My preference on gaming preservation is just physical copies and able to play them on any kind of hardware. And if you people on TikTok,
bringing this up again,
liked my video, watched it, this is an episode you probably want to just listen to a little bit. Okay, you can take off and insert the question, or however you want to word it, because I've been yapping a lot. I feel like more. But I'm the one who
you're the monologue reader. You're the narrator.
I'm the monologue reader. I'm like the enemy who just sits there and, oh, he's monologuing again.
Well, if you're gonna do that again, you gotta sit up like this. You gotta keep a strong body frame.
No, none of them do that. They just sit there, look cool, and then yap.
You haven't watched enough anime yet.
Yes, I have.
No, because there are many that do that. But. Going on topic. Thoughts of...
Going on topic, sure.
Yes. Thoughts on the future for game preventions... preservation, sorry. Is it still here, or is it more kind of going out the door?
I can see it both ways. I feel like it's here. It's still here. It's core because we still have stores that sell physical games. They still sell
relatively.
So the stores sell physical games. They still sell you keys to get digital games. So I think it's narrowing down that we're getting less and less physical in the gaming preservation. I see it. The gaming preservation for physical stuff is slowly going out the door.
Huh.
But I think gaming will always be around in some form of way. For example, emulating games. That is a form of gaming preservation because they're just basically storing all the games, which are ROMs, and just storing them for eternal life.
Yeah.
Which I think some people intended that I was like solely against emulation. I'm I'm on the fence for emulation. I think if you have good intentions for it and just not utilizing it for the worst, as in like, oh, I'm going to buy this device and never owned any of these games or any of these consoles. I'm never going to, and I'm just going to rip all these games. Then it's like, you know, I don't know. I feel it doesn't sit easy with me. I feel like if you...
I mean, how you wording it is kind of like what people, number of people do with movies, pretty much pirate it.
Yeah, which, get me wrong, we've all pirated. Come on. We've all pirated. We all ripped ROMs. We emulated, but like...
Game Shark.
I feel like that's like, I don't know. It just...
That's... in a different rabbit hole all of itself in my eyes. But that's when you're really going down that path and making those choices and all that.
Yeah, and those choices, I mean, I feel like it's those choices if you're solely only doing that, emulating and not buying anything. It's like technically you're hurting the gaming industry of not doing, we're not revolving money, I like the aspect of the business side because I think it's worth people buying video games, even if it's brand new or they're used. Even if it's what do I got here that's worse on? Donkey Kong 64 for the N64. Like, this game is, what, 35, 40 bucks, maybe more now? And, like, it's funny that probably was the same, 40 bucks or 50 bucks was the price of when it was brand new. And it's funny, those kind of games have stuck around with that same pricing for 25 years.
Oh, you could think of that, or like my Final Fantasy collection, Final Fantasy 1 and 2, I've trying to get a hold of those with everything, with the box and all that comes with it. It's $100 or more for that.
Yeah, it's funny, is like Breath of the Wild, I'm pretty sure it's still like a $40 game.
I think that actually what I sold today at a... Didn't really look at it, but...
Dang, I don't remember. Do you remember how much I paid for it? Final Fantasy 8 and 7?
No clue. But...
I think it was like $28 for Final Fantasy 7, which, downside, Disc 1 did not work. So, I own both of these games, but I bought them on Steam. Yeah. The best Yu-Gi-Oh game right here. Duelist of Roses. I did have this one brand new when I was a kid because I was able to get all the Magnet Warriors. Man, this game is so good, man. I'm surprised I have not played it yet. Or, like, played it again on stream. But, you know, all these games have... some guy got upset because I was the big reason why all these games, like retro games, have become overpriced. No, that's just inevitable for anything. For any kind of like gaming hardware, like this Gears 360 that I have, or a 86 Camaro.
It's all about popularity.
Popularity, also the value, how it's the condition. There's so many things. Like, if I became super successful and a big celebrity and I took down one of my magazines, whatever, my Nintendo Power magazines, and just signed it, the value just went up even more than just what that magazine used to be.
Yeah.
So, I don't...
I agree. It's going more down to digital route, but it's doing kind of exactly what music did, and what movies are starting to really go down. So this is just the next step.
Yeah, but good. That's a good example. The movie thing.
If it does just like all that, it'll resurface 30, 40, 50, however many years it takes, it will come back. Just like records for music are coming back. A lot of people are loving it and getting new versions of record players just to play those vinyls and to listen to it that way. So,
funny is I do have vinyls. I do have a few.
Yeah.
Just a few.
So, yeah.
Just a couple. I got the Pokemon 25th, and then I had a fourth one. And then,
yeah, I see. It's going to be a bounce around, but it's going to be heavy digital. And it's going faster and faster down that route in a quick pace. But, like music, it went real fast too with that. And it's because it's a big audience. So, movies, slightly slower because, well, it's always been finicky with theaters and everything because it wants to pay the price that it costs to go to theater.
Yeah. So, but I mean,
there are other way.
How I look at it is, you can still go to a store, and I know for a fact you can still buy DVDs, Blu-rays, stuff like that. Like, if you go to Walmart,
yeah.
Blu-rays, DVDs, they're still there. But
just a little
you can you can see, you can buy vinyl records now. CDs. I don't know CDs. I'm not sure I've seen CDs.
You can still get that. I'll be surprised if I ever see sets ever again.
It's just like VHS. How long? When did VHS became relevant? Like, when did that start? Do you know?
I have no clue on that one.
Could you Google that?
No. Well, I got a...
Because I wonder how, when the first VHS came out. That started, let's just say that's like the starting point. And then when they stopped producing VHS, it gives you an idea, probably the length of how long, how much longer we have left with DVDs or it video games.
Started in the late 1970s and started to phase out majority around the early 2000s. So
early 70s, you said? This is early
late 70s. So like 1975 and up.
Okay, so 1976. We'll just say that. 1976, and then in 2000.
2016 was the last company producing the VCRs.
2016?
Yep.
So that is...
That was producing...
40 years?
That was producing the case and everything, but the last one to make a movie on that was in 06. So, they gave 10 years of still printing it on that.
So, 30 years.
Yeah.
We'll go with 30 years. 30 years. Man, when did... Oh, it's crazy. 30 years.
Your wife got one from work or whatever. They let her bring, take it home. Hey, what the hell am I going to play this on? I don't have VHR anymore. I haven't had one of those in...
I will be honest, the last movie I seen on VHS was Star Wars Episode 1. My dad bought the collector like box for it and everything, which I want to buy just because it's me with nostalgia and sentimental things.
Master of Disguise was my last one.
Dang.
And I still love that movie.
Well, classic. But yeah... Now, do you think companies that are printing copies, physical copies, is wasting money? And do you think the consumer wants that anymore? Or do not want that anymore?
They don't know. They're not wasting money because they're going to get it. Even up costs, they're still going to get it. And there's going to be thousands of people who still will buy that copy.
You're right. I think... in the beginning stages, it's they're making their big hit money, and then it trickles down.
Yeah.
And then it just stays level or just drops completely because we don't know how good that game's going to be. If it's a really good game, then you'll see, like, its collectability change over the years. And after, like, let's say, like, the 20th anniversary of, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake or something, you know, that game is worth something more back then to now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'll probably do more. Eventually, probably end up like how DVDs are and everything, where it's steady supply. They know, okay, it's only selling this. We're only going to produce this. If there comes a sudden demand, then they'll re-hit the whiteboard and decide if they want to do a mass bust out or if they want to just do a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah, I mean, what sucks is this. I can think of the business side because I mean, I work in a place where business is important, and you had to come looking at it from all angles. And personally, I wouldn't be looking at the consumer and worrying about them making physical copies. If I was trying to get the most sales as possible, it would always be digital from now on. Like in this generation, I'd be selling it, it's going to be digital only. And what's funny is, like, there was a few times I went to pre-order a game and they were like, yeah, you can pre-order for that game. But I was like, I want a digital code. Like, I want a digital pre-order. And they were like, yeah, you can do that, but you're just gonna have to, like, pay for, what was it?
Like a slip order.
I think that you paid for the pre-order, but then they gave you like the code, and then you just go on to your system, whatever, and input that code, and then voila, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't. They don't do that anymore at all.
Nope.
Now, major companies need to think like Xbox on digital aspect, but in a physical format for all types of gamers and type of collectors. Do you think like other companies such as Sony or Nintendo need to think like Xbox and then bring everything digital on all platforms, or
it's all on their software if they can keep their everything working right, not much glitches or anything happens. And it's all depending on their, I would say, fan base for that brand or whatever.
But I mean, like, but also you got to think it as, I don't know, how you think of it, like Xbox letting the gamer be on anywhere to play everything, but on a physical format. So like Gears of War Reloaded, it's going to have a physical release for PS5, which is this might sound crazy. There's going to be people who are a fan of Gears of War who still play it on an Xbox console or PC, whatever, and they're going to want to buy that physical version of PS5 because that's like breaking Xbox history, because it used to be an exclusive for Microsoft only.
Oh, yes.
So it's like that kind of style of, like, do you think Nintendo releasing that new From Software game, the new Souls game, Dusk or something, I forget what it's called. Do you think they should have released that in a physical form, but then it should be released on all platforms?
Yes, same aspect. In the end, which somewhat what Xbox is starting to see and trying to implement, is it's going to make a good amount of money or whatever coming their way. It's, in a lot of gamers' eyes, it's a power move. Because for the however many years it's been now, it's been always divide on each front between each brand, taking that order away and opening that horizon is going to draw more people a little bit to those others, but it's going to draw it back to the main source.
Right.
So they're going to see that. Like I've seen a number of PlayStation users go, okay, Sony, what are you going to do? What on your next big showcase that you do, if you have another one this year, what are you gonna do to French fire back, or what are you putting up front?
Yeah, I mean, to put in simpler terms, however and wherever you put the game, you will get more sales. Physical, Xbox Game Pass, some kind of like subscription source, because you'll have more subscribers signing up. Even if it's just for the 1 month for that one game. I've done it many times, but then at the end of the day, I'm like, I play so many other games on here, it's just worth me to pay the $12 for my PC Game Pass to play all these other games.
Yeah.
But more games on any kind of platform and any kind of source, physical, digital, it doesn't matter. You should be getting sales one way or another. You should not be hurting to just make it physical. It doesn't hurt. And if it does hurt you, make less amount of it so that it just, you don't get bombarded of like going and just replaying. You see Madden 2020, 50,000 copies of it. Like, oh, quit printing so much of the dumb game.
Well, I wonder if that's just how many people just kind of sold it and not turning around at all.
Well, it's also because EA has not learned. Is it still EA Sports that still makes those?
I think so.
Whatever, Madden. Get your head. Every freaking game, like sports game, video game, quit making more of the games. Quit printing them like it's freaking dollar bills. Make one Madden game, one baseball game, one other sports game, and just update it. And if it costs the consumer like $20 for the yearly update or whatever, it's better than paying $60. You're updating the rosters. I've said this for the past probably 10 years of gaming, because I love playing Madden. But then I was like, this is getting ridiculous just playing.
What the problem goes on with this, and I sent you a clip from TikTok wherever about it, a person pointed out, they got the audience still. It's like Call of Duty.
Yes, you're right.
They're going to still make it. They're still going to get the people to buy it. They're going to keep doing it every year. They got a system, whether we like it or not, or others like it or not. They got a system that it seems redundant, but it works. Oh. Somehow it's working for them. So until that breaks or something shifts, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. They got it going. Why screw it up when it's going?
But I like my system too.
But that's the reality, though.
It's just
they're not going to break something that's working for them, that's making the money, even if it's a yearly thing, like Madden, the baseball, the wrestling, all these different ones are a yearly thing. They're selling, so they're going to keep making it. Once they don't sell well or whatever, then they'll change the algorithm on.
One day they will stop selling, and they're going to be like, oh, what's the problem?
Well, they're just going to go to the whiteboard and guarantee they'll find some other pitch.
No, there won't be nothing on the wipe-off board, because their company's full of morons and idiots and just, oh, I don't know what to do to make this Call of Duty game better. Oh, let's fix cheaters. Hey, oh, let's, stop putting lock-on target systems with the controller. Quit giving the controller people the easy win every freaking time.
That's why he
God FPSs now. I can't believe I'm going to be going back to Call of Duty.
And you still do it.
Stupid ass Black Ops 7 that debated us.
Again, that's just how it is. And yes, to you, they may not be smart or whatever, but those smart people are making tons and tons of money while we're sitting here going, damn it, my paycheck like that. So.
Because I like to keep this in my head and not lose it because of stress.
Yeah, when you're bringing that kind of money in.
Listen, there's no way. No They better be paying for a freaking psychiatrist.
They could be. We don't know.
Well, I hope they are.
But it could now, be a number of them that just don't care, too. So they were like, eh, we're getting a paycheck out of it.
That number is, like, maxed out.
Yeah, exactly. So it's...
Continuing, we yap about stupid idiots in the gaming industry.
Ourselves.
That's, no, yeah, sadly, that's us, too. You think we're stupid idiots, but you know what? We're here yapping.
I'm proud of it. Makes things enjoyable.
Sometimes. Sometimes
I even get you all the time going, what the fuck? I ain't even seen the looks that you've given me going.
Moving on, do you know? I'm continuing because he's right. Do you know there is modern tech being used to make gaming preservation important to the gaming community?
Yeah.
Which I've showed you the device I've had, the Epilogue Game Boy operator. For example, there's the Analog Pocket where you can play the Game Boy Color or Game Boy games on there.
There's even emulator ones now out there that have 100 or so games that sell or whatever.
Yes, that is still, to me, I mean, that's the fine line. Yeah. I mean, I'm not against the emulated handhelds because I've looked into them, getting them myself as well. But it's more of the fact, like, I would want to, like, transfer my saves of, like, Final Fantasy VIII, put it on that, my SD card, and then take it to work and just play on it.
Right.
But I'm thinking more on the physical side of, like, all these bigger companies making hardware, for example, like, upscalers for older consoles so you can make your game look good for, like, your streams or even just your visual eye. There's physical consoles that still process the emulation. They still run the emulating of the game. For example, you can get like a N64 that's modded that still runs all those games.
Yeah.
I've seen it with Dreamcast. Analog has came out with like their Analog 64 console.
What the heck? It's like you said, I think it was a few weeks ago or it might have been longer. I really don't remember how it can use HDMI to get the other cords to go into a PlayStation 2 to plug in right, where we're not have to have those three different pieces work, because I can't think what they're called. Whatever they're called, the yellow, red, and white.
Composite stuff.
Yeah. Don't have that, because, well, TVs don't have that these days anymore. Computers definitely don't have that.
Nope. The.
So it makes it difficult, and I wanted to play on a PS2 for a while and all that.
And I don't have that little device right
now. Kind of that, like, huh, I can run PS2 now. I just got to get the stuff and hook it up and play all that stuff again. Then, even, and you've shown the different things of how go all the way back to the original Nintendo.
Well, it's in here. I just don't want to dig for it. It's literally just the one I first started on, because I rebought my PS2 long ago with Dance Dance Revolution and stuff.
Oh, Lord.
My wife was loved those games. And I was like, you know what? I think it's worth buying. So I bought, like,
do that.
It's hard as hell.
No, I want to see you start to laugh.
You're doing it too, you know. It's
funny seeing you move around.
Funny that. It's like my legs look like I'm trying to learn to walk like a newborn. That's what it feels like.
I just imagine watching Grandma's Boy. The people that did that crap in it.
Videos come up with like arcades and people doing it on like the metal versions. They're so good. I'm like,
how many hours did you put into doing that?
Did you come here every day after school with like your girl and you two like duoed this thing and just like
something? They got down to a T.
Yeah, I bet they did. Giggity. No, it's like a little box that you put your composite cables in, you plug it into your system, and there's like an HDMI out. You just plug your HDMI into that and then into whatever screen you're playing on. There's like a setting for 720p or 1080 to upscale it. It's cheap. It does the job, really. It does. It also requires power, but it does the job. I don't know if the version I had was faulty or just things conflicting it, you know, mine over the mini production set I have.
I was gonna say conflicting.
No, it just like cut in and out. But now I have mine set up through a composite switcher that goes to my HDMI switcher to my capture device. But I do want to get a higher end upscaler to make it all look fancy for me in the stream. But that's, I haven't made it to that, and I have not played that much.
Oh, because
retro stuff, just because, I don't know.
Games take time, man. Time seems to fly by faster and faster, I swear.
Not just that. I feel like I would like to do more, like, couch streams like this, but, like, with me and you playing, like, our favorite old games, you know?
Mm.
And I think that would benefit to playing the upscale it and make it look good, but then it's like, I don't know. Continuing, it doesn't matter. Well, it's like funny, the reason why I bought Final Fantasy 1 is because of I had everything set up and I was able to do it with the NES. Which, God, Final Fantasy 1, I don't recommend that game to anybody, just because
have patience.
That game takes some time. And I mean, I felt like it was slower grinding of Pokemon.
That's how the older games were, though. They were.
I know, but I wasn't prepared for that grindiness. It's too much for my old brain. I ain't got that kind of patience, nor do you.
I set myself to it.
Shut up.
Heck, I'm still doing my PoE run.
That's different. It's so different of a grind than grinding to 100 on a Pokemon. Yeah, you don't miss that, do you? Yeah, I don't either.
Grinding to 100 on RuneScape.
Don't talk about RuneScape right now.
I've done that, and oh my God, that sucked. Especially depending if you pick the bad one. Oh, God, that...
I don't want to think about that. That hurts my brain.
I think I've been thinking about recommending my son, see if he'll do it, just so he gets into it.
No, he's going to look at you like, Dad, what the heck is this garbage?
Yes, because he's used to, like, Ark and all the other stuff, so...
Well, yeah, Ark. Oh, find the server that I can get double XP, more than level 100 within a couple hours.
Yeah, I took a little fun out of it.
It did. Now, do you think gamers from the old era know about these kind of equipment and that they can use to play all their old-time favorites?
If they thought to probably look it up, I'll say possibly.
I mean, if they're curious like us and want to find a way, like, is there a way in the late 22nd generation, whatever, of gaming, is there a way I could play my N64 through my 4K 144Hz monitor? And then I think that'll get them to these kind of devices or these websites, and they'll be like, oh, that's cool. But is there a more budget-friendly one? And they'll Google that. Is there a budget device for me to play this console to this TV or monitor?
I said it's,
and then they get into that,
because you look at me, I'm a dumbass, so that don't help.
Yeah, but you would Google it and you'll get down the rabbit hole and you'd be like, oh, that. Yeah. And then like 2 seconds later you're like, hey Mike, do you know how to do all this? I'm like, yeah, I already got it set up here. Why don't you just come over and check it out?
Yes, because there's a few older games I need to get my hands on. I still keep debating going back and forth getting that Breath of Fire 3 disc.
How much is that thing again?
$50, which is steep prefer an old game, but not steep, really.
It's not steep if you're willing to play it again, yep, and it's part of your collection.
Well, that, and it was a favor to a lot of...
You can't speak steep to me ever.
True.
We walked into GameStop the weekend of my birthday, and what would we do? I was looking around like I normally do with my route. You went straight up to the front case or whatever, and you saw that they had Pokemon Fire Red. I instantly was like, yeah, we'll take it. We'll buy it. $90.
Yeah, but that's very hard to find.
That is true. That's the first time seeing Fire Red in that store.
It's like, if I ever saw Dot Hat for the PS2...
I've seen it multiple times, and you're like, next time.
Well, I didn't have the money at the time either.
True.
Getting when you have the money for like that game is not a common game to find.
You know what's funny? The last time I found Fire Red was it the year before that? Like the birthday before that. So last year is when I bought it, right? Yeah. Then the year before that, of that birthday, me and my wife went to Illinois to another game store, and they had Fire Red, but they went like $110 for it. I was like, man, maybe I should have bought it. No, I waited a year later to save $20. Yeah. But then you gave me gold. So.
Was it gold I gave you?
Yes, that is right there.
I can't remember which one I gave you.
Gave me gold because I always complained that was the version I had.
No.
I remember in stupid elementary, you could bring items in and sell them for in school money through. At the end of the year, every kid or whatever had shops set up to sell things that they made or brought they don't want anymore. Listen, I was stupid, young, didn't know what I was doing. I just wanted currency for school, so I brought in my Pokemon Gold version, my version, and sold it for like, I don't even know how much. I don't know how much how much currency it was in school. The school currency, just to spin around.
I just happened to find it in my collection, just like my Pokemon Blue. You know I had it.
So now, we're on search for Pokemon Ruby. Because my sister's a brat and doesn't want to give me her Sapphire.
That's something I need to look tomorrow, see if I can find an SP.
You should be able to find those.
That's what I want to look at, also.
I saw a black version, an Onyx version. I just replayed not too long ago.
I don't care if it's generic.
Well, if that's the case, then just... If that's the...
I'm trying to look. I haven't...
No, if you plan on wanting to even get something like that, just focus on getting, like, the emulator handhelds.
I could always do that.
Well, the emulator handhelds, and you can put all the ROMs on it and stuff...
Man.
You can get one for like $80 and it's very, very good quality. And if it's like in your pocket, like if it's literally almost, it's bigger than like this.
I was gonna say, better be bigger than that. I don't want to go back to those tiny screens. I hated that as a kid.
Oh, it's going to still have a smaller screen. It's probably the size of the Stream Deck like this.
Yeah.
With the screen being like, it's honestly, it's good. And it's a good quality screen. Has buttons. I think you can do HDMI out to it and hook it up to like your monitor or TV or whatever.
I'll look into it more.
I think it was called the Trim UI. Trim UI. Just type it in like Amazon, you'll see it.
I'll take a look. Yeah, I have zero clue.
But no, I think if older people, for example, let's just say my dad wanted to play the Atari, his old Atari system.
Word.
And wants to plug it into his TV, he knows how to Google things and such. He'd find a way. If you're interested in doing it and wanting to take the time to learn or understand, I think those people will find a way to do it.
And it's just time and place when it happens.
Now, for example, my dad doesn't have his old Atari, but we went to GameStop or not GameStop, Disc Replay. They had like the newer, the small newer Atari version, can plug it into your TV with HDMI.
Yeah, not with the 64 and everything now.
Yeah, they did it for like the mini, the PS1 mini, whatever.
Yep.
And that was a downside. People disliked that because it didn't put like the fan favorites that people think are the fan favorites on it. Now, why is game preservation so important for us gamers? To me, it's important because we will always have those fan favorites for the end of human existence. And also, it shows how far we've came as gamers, even game collectors, how those games performed from a freaking a lightweight paper, not even a paper box, like plastic box that had like nearly nothing in components compared to if you looked at the Xbox Series X or if a gaming PC. It's like, it's crazy how far we've came from gaming. And to me, game preservation is super important because of the history behind it all.
Look all the way back to Oregon Trail.
Oh my god, I love that game. I would always kick every kid out of the computer seat when it was like recess time and we were inside only. I was like, I'm playing Oregon Trail. Get out of here.
and it's just having, a lot of people like to have the physical, so it's always going to be a want, because even use posters as an example, people love to get it one way or another, and it's just something to have or display or do whatever with it is always going to be a thing for even non-gamers. And technically, you could, like, for me and him, both gotten into Magic recently. And for me, the longest time, I never really got into it. I loved the art on it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're...
This is just a little stack of the Final Fantasy.
Okay, what, five stacks over there?
Like five and a half, because there's the stuff that I've...
I wasn't counting the mini, tiny little stacks. Stack that up, then yeah, about five and a half. But it's like that. I never got much in the card games. I love the arts on them.
You're welcome.
So a lot of times, I collect them for the art. Even Pokemon, I am not into the card game. I like the art. So
I don't even like the art anymore because
it's
scalpers ruined it. Thanks for ruining it.
That is one big thing, and it sucks. But no, I don't. It's not just the art. It's the repetitiveness that...
Oh, the same style. Like, they're not changing, like, how... What's funny is Magic has changed their variations of, like, holos. You have, like, right now for Final Fantasy that's out, they have the Surge foils, and then they have the, like, high-raised foil, which has texture on it. It's so cool. They've changed their texture.
Oh, I've had that before Final Fantasy, but yes.
No, I mean, like, I don't know how to put it. I don't have any...
I know what you mean.
I forgot. I really didn't realize these are Surge because of this.
Yeah. I think the Tarak, or was one before that where it had like the dragon scales.
Yes. It had like scaly feel on it, which is super cool. The raised foil, that is so cool with different variations of the raised foil.
So.
But like for Pokemon, I don't have anything right next to me, do I? I don't.
Well, it's like the Greninja, whatever his name is, that a lot of people...
Oh, Greninja?
Kind of, yeah, the most recent, that's like $400 or $500 selling.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do that, but they hate the artwork in it. I've seen a lot of people call it atrocious or even worse. And to me, I told you from the start, I saw it, I'm like, nope, I don't like it. And I think it's just because it's too much... in there that it
yeah
screws it up in my brain.
I mean,
it's like the prismatic stuff. I don't care for too much for that either.
Just like video games. However you want to play it.
Yep.
We're not yucking your yum.
Yep. Everybody's got their own different ways of.
And I'll probably repeat that in because that's a good closer.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes to how you play your games, how you collect your games, where you play those games, is just like how you're collecting your cards. You don't need the most expensive freaking card because they make what card do I got here? Let's just say this Arden card that I got for Final Fantasy for Magic. They have another version of it, but it's a less cheaper version.
Yeah.
Like, they do the same function. Just like games, where you're playing it or what you're playing it on, if it's emulating it or physically, you're still playing the same way. And you're just, don't be yucking. No one's yum.
I could be yum.
Could be yucking.
Let's get your kid down here. He'll yell for. He'll do it for both of us.
Do good you think the new equipment that allows you to play older games is ruining the game preservation? No it's bettering the game preservation.
Is on the same aspect of with what Xbox is doing. It is opening the border. To bring those old games back to life.
Wait. Did you say opening the border?
Yes. Kind of like they're all divided.
You should have said opening the portal. Okay, I'll shut up. Talk.
You short-circuited my brain, so I'm like, portal? The fuck? But pretty much it's just... Here, opening the horizon. You have all these older games. Yeah,
opening the pathway. Like, here's your highway. Here's four different directions to get to one location. It all takes you to the same location. It doesn't matter. One could be longer or shorter to get there.
You got all the short ways, but then you seen those short ways, and you're like, the long ways are the old version. What'd they do in the old version? How'd it look? How'd it play? How'd it do this? How'd it do that? So they can go and play that, and they may like it, and go, I want that copy, and go and hunt for that copy.
So it's funny, is like people comment about that, like, why would I want to take the extra step of plugging your device into my computer, then plugging the game into that device and opening the program and clicking play, than me going straight to my computer, not plugging anything in, opening the program, selecting the ROM, play it on that emulator, voila. And then people was not understanding. Here's your three paths. One's going to take you 40 minutes, one's going to take you 10 minutes, one's going to take you 25 minutes. Doesn't matter how fast or...
Unless you try to go back over to the NAS and maybe have to self-shoe it and whack it a few times to get it to work, but who's counting?
That's what I was getting at. We weren't counting that. All directions, all paths of how you're playing the game... Could be the slowest route, could be the fastest route, it could be just right in the middle. You're all getting there to play that game.
Yeah.
And it will take you averagely all you the same amount of time to play through that first playthrough of Final Fantasy 1 or freaking Paperboy or I don't even know what else. 007. Whatever game you're into that's in the retro spectrum, it's
like GoldenEye, and I'm going to be up top. Go a hat at your ass.
No.
Yes.
You won't find me.
You won't find me other than you. I'm going to squish a hat.
No, I'm going to hide in the bathroom stall.
We're always on the shitter. Where?
The point is people...
You just gotta open your brain to all the different
people. Scenarios. Just are so simple, so one-sided-minded.
Oh yeah,
instantly nowadays, and it's frustrating. But sometimes, I used to be that way. But like over these past 4 years, or maybe 4 years now, I've been very more open-minded to a lot of things of every spectrum of how people play the video games, how they want to play the games. It doesn't matter. You're there. If you're watching someone play a game, you're there to be entertained. Now, when if someone's asking for advice, then yeah, sure, put your two cents in. But, like, don't ask them how they're playing the game. It's kind of rude. I like people ask me how I'm playing the game. I love explaining because I'm so intrigued of like how certain people play their retro games. It could be freaking the way I have it set up with a composite switcher to an HDMI switcher so that it goes to my capture card. People do it a different way. They put it through Thermeister, something like that. It just sits a preamp switcher that is already has a upscaler within it. But then there's other upscalers that you can put things through. It's fascinating to make older games look even better than they do, which is super cool. But people, what sucks is I think we are probably getting to an age where our video games to our kids are like, what the garbage are you playing?
Yeah.
What sucks is like I had a discussion in a stream before, and I'm like, because the streamer's kids were like 4 and 2 or something, and I'm like, yeah. Video games that I used to play, I still enjoy to this day. And have no problem going back to play, like, games that look like Final Fantasy VII. Polygon, Pixelated. Like, I don't have a problem playing those kind of games. But now, it's like, if I want my son to, like, play those kind of games, I kind of need to do that now. Yeah, but what sucks is... early. But what sucks is I think I'm too late because if he's playing games on a tablet,
it's going to make it difficult.
It's going to be very difficult.
That's what I do with my kids, so.
But he's going to be, our kids are in the next little line of generation of gaming. So his first console he might own will be my Switch 1 that I passed down to him. For example, like me, my first console that I own was the N64, so.
This was 64, mine was the NES.
Yeah, I mean, we had one, but it was mine, so I didn't claim it as mine.
Yeah. We're playing a lot of Mario and a lot of Duck Hunt. Can't play that no more. Well, they you might can. Have made it work now with the new TVs and stuff now.
No.
I'm not sure if they've got different versions.
You still got to play that on a CRT.
Yeah, so I've tried before. I'm like, this don't work, damn
it. I do want to buy a decent, the biggest decent size working CRT for that specific things, for the gun games.
Well, at least if you get mad, you can hit it all you want. The damn thing won't break.
No, that thing will break your hand before it breaks. Or your toe when you drop it on you.
I saw one that took, I think, 3 hits from a bowling ball from a high height to finally shatter.
Nice.
I remember taking a baseball bat to it and hurting myself trying to break it. It would not break.
It just bounces off. You're like, ah, oh, my wrist.
Yep.
All
right, back to topic. Now that we switch.
Lastly, do you think you should solely play on old systems to understand the quality of game preservation?
I'm going to say yes and no. No, just getting possibly started or maybe get a feel, but yes, on the standpoint of you will understand the graphics and everything so much more going back to that than trying to do something more common that's been like remastered or something. It's gonna look so much odd, and you go back to the original version, see how that looked and everything, and you go, oh. This is why. This is what it originally was like.
No.
Heck, Wonder how those people from that played the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth try to go play the original Final Fantasy VII.
That's what the fuck. So that's a big reason why part of the big reason why I started the Final Fantasy game playthroughs. One, I've never played them, but also I was in a different era during that time. Like, those games were coming out at an era of my age that I wouldn't be able to comprehend or know how to play. It was difficult in my gaming era, I guess, as a kid. But after playing Final Fantasy 15 years ago, it made me realize, man, I want to go back and play all these other Final Fantasy games and see what I missed, what, like, nostalgia or that.
You're playing things I played as a kid. I did all the Final Fantasies, Legend of Dragoon,
Darkstone. I mean, yeah, like stuff like that. I did play, but I mean, like, I didn't like fully play through it either.
I played the crap. I think Final Fantasy 8 or 10 I played the most. And there was the Breath of Fires and Medieval. Oh God, Medieval.
Oh yeah.
I haven't played that in a long time. Oh, that's
so
been remastered and all now.
As much as I want to play Final Fantasy VII remake and then Rebirth, I'm excited because I recently just played the OG, and it's like I will be able to be like pinpoint all the differences, all the different music, all these things.
Well, then you're going from, you sort of started pixelated, but you kind of jumped ahead a few games, but you're going from how they changed almost every one of them and implemented new graphics, new themes, all this new stuff to get out to where they're at now.
Oh yeah, like what's funny is like noticing the difference of music when you defeat an enemy and you get your XP from 7 to 8.
Yep.
And it's the same music, but 8, they added another tune after that, which to me, I like it more. I said it, like, I think I like the music better already in Final Fantasy 8 than 7.
And a lot of people think all it is just 7, when it's, if they go listen to the original, it's slightly different, as you've noticed, than that, where the 8 yeah. is where they really took that sound and implemented it everywhere. That's a big part of where that sound came from.
That is the Final Fantasy sound.
Yep.
And people don't understand that. Even like people who've played all of the games and are like, I ain't got a clue.
It started in 7. That's where it first was implemented. It was pretty much polished by 8. And then after that, it was just went on from there. And now it's just a common thing that's in every one of them. Somewhere in it, you're going to hear it.
Any kind of sound, really. I feel like you should be able to hear any little sound cue, even you going through the menus or like fine-tuned or like it's still similar.
But each one, they've implemented it with as a base and then put everything to it and then just add more to it, making it bigger. Like I said, you're seeing how 8 is now. Can't fully remember 9 very well. That was my third least played of the Final Fantasy out of my big major constantly playing.
Don't worry, I'll be around the corner to play it. That one, I'm...
It's 10, I'm waiting for, like Shadow was saying to you, I'm waiting for you to start that one, especially when you see how massive the skill tree is.
What's funny is I don't know if he knows you told me that. I think that's what he's expecting me to see, and I'm like, ugh.
Well, you're thinking, probably still thinking, like, oh, it's not going to be that big, especially being that old.
I'm still thinking that. I'm still thinking, man, it's maybe
you're exaggerating.
Yeah.
So,
we'll see. I don't know what to expect, and I'm not planning. I have not looked anything up. I don't look anything up until I need a guide if I completely get lost. But, yeah. Like, 8 has been actually so far easier on directing you to point A to point B. It's more linear, really. Final Fantasy VII, basically no help. It was Jack. It was just... 7, after realizing now, I think I like 8 better already. Not story-wise. I have not... I don't think I basically grazed into the story aspect. I think I just got into the portion of making my head think, like, why were they dreaming about these people, all 3 of them at the same time, and how did they get knocked out of understanding this dream?
Yep, you're in the beginning phase still. So
well, yeah, I'm in disc 1.
You're still in disc 1 of 4.
Disc 4, I don't think that you should count disc 4, because I've already seen it's basically 1,000 phases of a boss.
I don't really remember what was all in disc 4, but...
Disc 4, it said, like, 4 phases of that same boss, of the, whatever her name is.
Talk about Eden?
Yeah.
Or Ida, whatever her name is.
Yeah, or whatever her name is changed to.
Yeah.
The, you know...
The one card I would love to get my hands on that's pricey, unfortunately, in the actual Final Fantasy series, but... card sets or whatever they've been releasing is the
hold on stop talking about Final Fantasy. We were in the realm, but we were talking, you were going to lead off to Magic cards again, game preservation. I think kids should witness what it was like. I don't think they should be forced to play anything. I think you should introduce your children or introduce yourself of
video, because you can find it online. People played those old games every day.
Of course, but listen. if I have everything here, I might as well gonna let him give it a whirl. What is it gonna hurt? Break a controller that I probably snapped an SP?
I've done that. But controllers, yeah, we're not counting on that one.
I've seen you. I'm pretty sure I've seen you physically break one. Or enough that you broke a mouse or something.
Mouse. Controller I hadn't done in a while. Mouse.
I think it was the mouse. And I think it was from stupid Dead by Daylight.
I don't remember. It's been a while. And I've learned to step away more. So it's helped.
Well, that is the episode for game preservation. I might have not been touching every point or aspect or anything. This is just us talking about it. Yes, and going off topic like usual. Just always going to be off topic about different video games. Like, we were talking about Final Fantasy because it's probably one of the oldest series other than, like, Mario.
It's still current.
Actually, it is currently the oldest, I think. Oh. Unless you're counting Pong, do they still make Pong?
I don't know. Just going to take some researching and find out what's on all that stuff.
Well, either way, thank you for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. Give us a follow, join Discord. Hope to hear you there.